time for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them.
Yes, everyone, welcome to another episode of The Warm Down. Today, joined by my mate Dave, we're going to be talking a little bit about the youth at United as they're seeing a little bit of a resurgence. I'm going to have to get closer to that mic. But before we get stuck into that, we are brought to you by the top folks at The Athletic. As always, we are now going to be brought to you by The Athletic for the remainder of this season. So how cool is that? And you can get that special month's free trial and 50% off by using the link in the description, or you can just go straight to theathletic.co.uk/Howson, theathletic.co.uk/Howson. And without being any weirdness about this, The Athletic is genuinely good. I'd already signed up to it before they came and sponsored. They've got Andy Mitten on there. They've got Crafton on there. They've got DT on there. They've now got, not him, the good one. They've now got Ollie Kay's in there. You've got Laurie Whitwell. Basically, they went in, they came into the UK and they went, who is the best writers that are out there? And then they signed them. And that's what it did.
Sounds good, that.
It's not a bad tactic, is it? And people that work for The Sun are absolutely fucking fuming, which is never a bad thing. So, go and check out The Athletic. Link is in the description. Dave, it's an exciting time to be someone who follows the academy closely, but also just as a fan of the first team, isn't
it? Yeah, it's all around with United at the moment. It's just, we've got a young first team, so that means the reserves are young and the 18s are even younger now. You know, you see 18-year-olds playing for the under-18s, now you're playing 15, 16-year-olds, which is mad to see, really. And, you know, to see him actually performing well, It's just a really good thing to do, seriously.
It's also a great recruitment tool when you eventually start looking to bring in academy players, isn't it? Because if you've got this culture of bringing through young players, it's easier to attract young players. Like, I bet so many people were sold the dream when Guardiola went to City about, oh, Guardiola, this, that, and the other. And I know one young man that used to play at United who went there thinking, I'd probably get more of a chance of breaking through there. I don't know if he'd be first team at United now, but I think he'd be a lot closer to first team if he was at United now.
Yeah, well, I think the challenge is better at United because the idea is actually to try and get in that first team. It's not all about playing well, winning a trophy at the youth level and then flogging him on. It's all about trying to get to that level. So even if they do not make it, it's going to be there or thereabouts. So teams are always going to be interested in them.
See, that's a really interesting point that you just made there, about not about winning stuff at youth level, because I see this brought up all the time. Chelsea's youth team is the best youth team because they win stuff. City's youth team is the best youth team because they win stuff. Now, I'm sure you've got your own opinion on this, lad, but like, what happens at those two clubs is they have 30, 40 people per squad. And they'll loan 10 out, but still have 25, 30 people in that squad, which is still a squad capable of doing stuff. United have consistently loaned out or promoted our best ones. So what usually gets left around playing under 23s is either extremely young players who are miles away from the first team, or those who probably aren't going to be good enough for the first team, full stop. So we don't have our prospects in there. We never had like Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi playing regular at that level, did we? Like Chelsea have had.
No, not at all. I mean, look at someone, I know he's not playing well at the moment, but someone like Jesse Lingard, you know, he struggled a bit in the 18s, but finally got there, did all right in the reserves, but he was loaned out a few times. And I think that's what does it for some players sometimes, having that loan system when you get to a certain age. I mean, talking of Chelsea, if you look at someone like Reece James, he was at loan at Wigan last season and just blew the championship away from, you know, a defending position, but was player of the season at Wigan. So you can see players doing it that way. But you always got to, you know, the players when you see them, if they're good enough for it. It's not all about being at a club and, like, say, winning things. You know, you can win things, but you know that maybe one of them will make it. But you can not win something and say three or four, five of them can make it.
Yeah, because like if you've got a team with great defenders in it, some phenomenal midfielders, but didn't have a striker, which is a problem United have had for a few years at the underage levels, because the strikers have all been getting promoted very quickly or loaned out immediately. Hence why Scott McTominay played at striker for the longest time in the 23s, didn't it? Or 21s it might have been at the time.
Yeah, and he didn't get that many goals, really.
He was shit. And if we want to be technical, he was shit.
Yeah, he was one of the biggest surprises for me. For now, I think he's one of our better players. I don't think he's, you know, naturally one of the best players, but he's playing out the best, one of the best players. I never thought he'd make it. When he got into that team, I just thought he's just a big lump now. Because he never used to be like that. He used to be tiny. He got big and then I mean, there was Matty Willock who was ahead of him.
Yeah, Matty Willock was absolutely ahead of him, and Matty Willock's now playing, is it Crawley, I think?
I'm not too sure where he is now.
So, is it Crawley or Gillingham, somewhere along, around there? So, like, it's a bit of a surprise that Scott's not just in and around Manchester United's first team, but he's also probably putting in 7 and 8 out of 10 performances in the United's first team.
At the moment, he'd be one of the first names down at the moment. You can really rely on him. Even when he's having a bad game, he's still... puts himself about and he wins the ball, and not many players do that for United.
Defensively, I think he's had a great season. I think with the ball, there's still question marks on him, but defensively, almost flawless, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, he's banging in goals as well, which is crazy, really. I think the last goal I saw him for the 23s or 21s, as it was, I think away at Sunderland he scored, and I remember at the time thinking, God, he's not scored in ages. Good to see him score, but now his first team is... what's he got now, 4 or 5 goals or something?
Yeah, he's scoring goals, yeah. I'm seeing people pulling up comparisons with Almini McTominay scored to like Pepe and stuff, which is always a good giggle. There's an article in The Athletic this week that's worth having a look at. Let me just quickly pull it up. And I think it's from Adam Crafton, actually, which is talking about how loans used to be more of a thing where players were just sort of... get out there, out of sight, out of mind, and now they might actually be technically being used as a real part of progression. Like you mentioned, Reece James has gone and smashed it. Axel's had a good loan for us. There's not that many that have done brilliantly on loans with us lately. I think Axel's one of our success stories. But it goes and it talks about how they, you know, it's giving them diet plans. They're talking about different managers that really go and get all these loans. Talks about how important loans are for young players. And all that sort of stuff. I'll throw a link to that in the description. Who do you reckon's ripe for a loan for United at the moment? Because I think there's a bit of a tear and a bit of a separation between those that we think are probably going to get debuts this season. And I would say Levitt and Laird are probably at the front of that queue. I think Garner's one that we want to see more minutes from. Gomez is one that we see more minutes on, but there's obviously the contract situation with him. Who do you think, either out of that crew or those just below them, should be looking to go on loan?
You just mentioned him, really, Gomez, for me. Because the problem is, at the moment, he's not getting into the first team. It's not happening at the moment for him. You know, there's maybe reasons there, maybe not, but it's not happening. The problem is with the under-23 league, and it's the under-21 league before it, is it used to be the reserve league, and used to get first teamers playing in it, and it was more competitive. Now you've seen... I went to Middlesbrough away recently with the 23s, and I don't think we had a player over the age of 20. And we had a 16-year-old come on, and, you know, so you're not playing against...
Mabry. Maybe we'll touch on Mabry a little bit later on individually.
But, you know, you're playing basically the same people you're playing against when you were in the under-18s, and you're not really progressing. And then, but you look at Axel, he went out on loan to Aston Villa, and he's playing against proper teams each week in, week out, you know. People who fight
also a team that's at the top of the table, which helps, or in and around the top of the table.
Yeah, but you're playing against people who are fighting for points. You know, there might be people fighting against relegation, or, you know, even in the cup.
Championships are probably one of the most competitive leagues in sport, isn't it?
Well, I do think something like League Two or League One's better than the under 23 leagues, because if you lose, obviously it's disappointing at the time, but it doesn't mean anything.
I genuinely think the conference would be better than 23s, because I find the 23s is so vanilla. Like, it's so nice. There's no edge to any of the games, apart from Liverpool and City. Yeah. None of the games have got edge. But if you sent out a young lad and I can't think off the top of my head any of the local teams that are in the conference, actually. Everyone's either just popped into League Two or dropped out of it altogether, haven't they?
I think Altrincham are still there, aren't they?
They're doing all right in the Cup, actually, this year.
They've got an ex-United player, Charlie Scott's there.
Yeah, so, okay, that's not a bad example then. So if you said, okay, go to the conference... The conference is a bit like the championship. There's a bit of a bottleneck of talent there, because there's probably a massive crossover at the lower level of League Two and like the top half of the conference. People fighting to get into the Football League. If you sent a young lad out, or a couple of young lads out that you was like, do you know what? Probably not going to make it as Premier League players, but they could have a real good career, not just in the conference. They'll probably end up in the championship, because you know, you always drop and come up again, don't you? The likes of Roshan and Sean Goss and that are now at Shrewsbury doing bits. And they had Tyrese Campbell there last season. Someone's got their finger on the pulse in the recruitment side of things at Shrewsbury. But if some of them teams down there, conference... I know a player probably thinks, ego-wise, I don't want to go to the conference.
I think that's what it is, though, with players. I don't think that... I think they're probably afraid of it.
Also be wages as well.
Of course, they think they're in a Premier League academy, one of the best Premier League academies. And if you start dropping down the leagues, you might be forgotten about, not by the end of your career. But if you stick around, you might get an opportunity with someone else.
Yeah, I spoke to some of the lads that went and dropped down at Shrewsbury and stuff like that, and I said, like, I can't really reveal the full conversation. I think we've spoke about it off air, haven't we? But they, you know, they're fully certain that they'll probably end up back at United. They're fully certain that they'll play in the national team after being at Shrewsbury. And evidence suggests they're not wrong in terms of, like, it might not happen for them, but that pathway, if you looked at the World Cup squad, I think it's only Sterling and Rashford that hadn't been at a top club. Let's have a look, actually, while we're on it. I'll Google the World Cup squad for England last year. But you've got the likes of, you know, Joe Hart had dropped out through, and you know, yeah, he kept Shrewsbury himself,
of course,
wasn't
yeah.
it? You know, Jamie Vardy famously played at Stockton. In fact, speaking of which, there's a lad got in touch who said he played in Jamie Vardy's team that wants to come play for Stretford Paddock FC. Yeah, so really. If you're interested in playing for Paddock, we've got over 50 people have applied for to come and play in the team actually already. We're going to do things very different to what you've probably seen on YouTube already. And we're hoping to enter the proper professional pyramid, so we're not fucking around.
Well, there's a famous thing about the last World Cup squad where you had Harry Kane, who he was one game where he was on the bench at Leicester with Jamie Vardy and Jesse Lingard on the bench, and all three of them were starting in a World Cup game.
Yeah, and that was in the Championship.
Yeah, and so people are afraid to go out on loan, but it does work out. You know, you can go on loan, even if it doesn't go that well on the loan, if you come back and you still do it, it's all about the experience of going there. And you got to remember, at United, it's all rosy, isn't it? About you catered for everything.
I think it's too easy.
I think so as well. And when you go out on loan, you can see the reality of football.
Let's have a look here. So I've just pulled up the squad. So there was Jordan Pickford, who's played at a lower level. So in terms of a lower level, it's not just that you've played at a lower level, but you've came through maybe a bottom half Premier League team or a Championship team.
He came through Sunderland.
Yep. There's only, when I say only, Rashford and Sterling have come through an elite Premier League academy and broke into the first team and stayed in that first team. Obviously, Sterling moved on, but you know what I mean? Yeah. He got sold for £50 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick Pope, obviously, Burnley. Jack Butland, he was at Stoke, I think.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think he was lower down before Stoke as well, actually.
Really? I remember being at Stoke, but I can't remember before that.
Trent, he's not. He's another one. I don't think he played. Gary Cahill famously played all over the show. Delph played all over the show. Phil Jones obviously come through Blackburn. Harry Maguire played everywhere. Danny Rose, I don't know where he's been. Where did he come from?
I really couldn't tell you.
No, Danny Rose could be another one actually, looking at that. John Stones, Barnsley, Kieran Trippier. He come through Sheffield United?
No, he was City originally.
Is he Bury or something like that? No, he's from Bury, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from Bury, but he's part of City's academy.
But he dropped out and went somewhere else, didn't he?
Yeah, he left there and I can't remember where he went, but he was out of City's.
Do you know what? Let me go and look on the... Because you go on the Wikipedia one, you can actually click on it and then it'll take you to where the players played. I don't know what group he was in. Any idea?
No clue.
Research. On the fly. Jesus, I have no idea what group he was in. Anybody else want to help us out from the back? What group was we in the World Cup? Anyway, the point fucking stands. People come through at lowest. Obviously, there's tons of them. So I actually think that is a pathway. Because Dele Alli, obviously. There's a famous thing about you've got to get minutes. I think between 18 and 21, you've got to go and find and establish a regular pattern of playing regular first team football somewhere. I actually don't think it matters what level it is. The higher the level, the better. But I don't think it matters as much about the level it is as that you're playing.
You can talk about someone like Taif Cheung, where he's a naturally gifted player, he's got the speed, he can get past people. But when he's been doing it for the under 23s, he's gone nowhere with it, you know, because it's just the same old, but if he went, you know, for example, a year ago, if he went out on loan, would he be a different player breaking into our first team now?
Yeah, Chong's a weird one because obviously the news has come out this week, hasn't it, that it sounds like he isn't going to stick around at United. And to be honest, I don't know many United fans that are upset about that, to be honest. The age he's at, the shit Rashford gets, there's like 18 months or something between the two of them, and you think Chong isn't on Rashford's level.
No.
So, you know, we've got a lot of players coming through. Ramanazi's probably going to start really breathing down his neck very soon, and I think he's got a serious...
I think even think someone like Anthony Elanga, he's still young, but he's like doing bits in the 18s, and they've even played for the 23s now.
Yeah, I'm not sure losing Chong is the worst thing.
No, don't get me wrong, I'll be disappointed if he goes, but you know, I'll get over it.
I don't think he's going to do what Gomez could do. I think if Gomez goes, and my suspicion is that he will go, I think if Gomez goes, you've got a very real opportunity that's a Pogba situation. And I think Germany would be a great place for him. I think he's obviously mates with Jadon Sancho. He's seen what he's doing over there. That league, I think Angel Gomez looks genuinely unplayable.
Yeah, that would be a good option for him. But I also think somewhere like Benfica, because of his family connections, where, you know, if he went there, he'd be hailed a bit of a hero if he went there, you know, because of his dad and stuff. So that could be a good opportunity for him, because we've had players go over to Portugal. Can't think off the top of my head who went over there. Who went over to Benfica on loan?
To Benfica? I don't know if he went to Benfica. We had Joel Pereira went out to Belenenses and Vitória.
He'll come back to me in a minute. But
who went out to Benfica? When?
Probably five years ago or so.
5 years ago. Was it Angelo Henrique?
No, he'll come back. He'll come back to me.
I'm going to do my head in that now. Wasn't one of the Serbian lads?
No. He'll come to me. But yeah, I think he could do well there, because the Portuguese league isn't too bad, and you know, they're getting the Champions League, them teams, and that's good experience.
Even if you don't get the Champions League, you get in Europa League. I think that level of football is still a high level of football, especially at a club that's, you know, not a European elite club, which we're clearly not at the moment. But we still have the reputation of it. Like, teams still come to Old Trafford and treat it like a cup final.
Of course they do.
You know, the players are taking selfies on the pitch, like, fucking playing Old Trafford. Like, I think that still carries a lot of weight. Whether or not what we're doing on and how we're acting is a European elite club, I do think that we are still seen by everyone outside of England as an absolute massive fish that's probably going to get it right at some point soon.
Of course.
I hope you're fucking right.
If Real Madrid drops into fourth or fifth position, you know, when you're playing, if you went got me in the Europa League, you'd go, we're playing out the Bernabeu. You know, it's going to be like that.
There's going to be an absolute monster team drop in as well. You've got Barcelona, Inter and Dortmund all in the same group, and Slavia Prague, like, fuck. Yeah. Who do we think is... we haven't even really mentioned it. Who do you think, like, out of this group that we've got now, let's say Chong goes, Gomez, I think, I agree, a loan for him would be good, but who out of the ones that we think are kicking around? Dylan Levitt?
I think Levitt and Garner, for me. I've watched them, I think they were 14 the first time I watched them both, and they've always been that midfield partnership, and they've both been brilliant playing together. And I think when...
Dylan might be getting his debut tonight, actually. This goes out Tuesday, isn't it? So
yeah,
he's playing, hopefully getting a shirt for Cardiff. Actually, it was on my time hop for today. It was a year ago today. We went to Bangor to go watch him.
Dylan Levitt fan club, ultras.
Dylan Levitt ultras.
But yeah, and I think Dylan struggled a bit when Jimmy got moved up to the 23s, and he had to find his feet again. You know, playing with different, like someone like Ethan Galbraith and other players around him. But he found his feet again, and then when they got back together again, they were even better together because of what Dylan learned without him. And they just, yeah, for me, they were a complete partnership.
Where does he go? If you're in charge of Dylan's career, where does he go?
I'd loan him. I reckon he could easily do it in a Championship club.
I think somewhere like a Watford. I think a Watford with some runners around him.
I just think with... The problem with Premier League clubs is they're not desperate to stay in the Premier League, that they're not always going to rely on these younger players. So, you know, someone in the Championship, I think they'll play him week in, week out.
Because he's quality.
Yeah, like I don't want to bring him up again, but someone like Reece James played at Wigan, he could put, he's only around the corner, he could send Dylan there, and I think
he'd
flourish.
We don't have an official relationship with that? I think feeder clubs a little bit disrespectful to them. But I think having a relationship where... You know, you help maybe give them some resources in coaching or scouting.
I think that's down to the managers, though. And I do think Ollie's working on that at the moment. I mean, I was obviously watched the women's football again, and they've got a set up with Sheffield United. They've sent three players on loan last season. They've got one on, there's going to be two eventually going there. And it's great for the players, and they should be doing that with their first team. You know, players who are there or thereabouts who are not going to play every week, or someone who's going to progress into that point, but it's going to take a year, alone would be brilliant. And if you can get them at the same club, so there's two or three of them there, it's just going to be even better.
Yeah, you're travelling over there. I believe when Cleverley was there, was there someone else there as well at the same time? Or did I just invent that? Did Rothwell go at the same time Cleverley went?
You might be right. Well, it happened with I can't think of the names at the moment. When Keane was in charge of Sunderland when they got promoted.
Yeah, fucking everyone went.
Yeah, and
Welbeck and everybody went.
Yeah, and
Welbeck and Johnny Evans.
Yeah, and like the year after, they both were in the first team for United.
Yeah,
so. I think
it's got to be a trust thing there. But I think it'd be very easy to set up a championship or a League One team and you go, you know, what do you guys struggle with? Oh, we'd probably do a little bit of analysis maybe or this. That. Okay, cool. You can use our facilities. Or
Look at the, like, what's happened recently with Bolton and Bury. We could have easily said, right, we're going to do you a favour, but you've got to play our players.
What was the debt in total? Was like 200 grand. I mean, I know the Glazers aren't exactly known for splashing cash out, but yeah, you're absolutely right. We could have gone in there. It's probably against rules. I think Gary Neville said something along the lines of, like, if I could have helped, I would have my dad's names over one of the stands there. Don't you think I would have helped if I could? I think there was probably something preventing him doing something along those lines. But you're right, it would have been great to see if we could have bailed them out or if the Premier League clubs had a club together, because 10 grand each or something.
Well, something like that. I mean, if you said to me now, we've sent out a couple of players to Bury on loan. When United aren't playing, I'd go and watch them. You know, people, United fans would do that just to see how they're doing. And I think the attendance is at the ground, the money will go up. And,
yeah.
And if it's a local one as well, people are going to do it.
Oh, yeah. The Leasing.com Cup trophy. Shittest name of trophies ever had.
EFL trophy, I call it. I can't.
However, it seems like United are taking it very seriously.
Yeah, I was dead against it when I first found out. We were going. Because I think it's unfair to the lower league teams who.
Why?
Because it's always been their trophy. And
bollocks.
I know, but. And then now the big teams are coming into it.
Bollocks.
But I love it.
Right. The arguments that I saw against it was, you're taking an opportunity to go to Wembley off us. Well, no, you're not, because I think the last couple of years it's been, since the under 23s have entered it, it's been lower league teams. No Premier League teams got to the final. And the attendances in this are well shit. Now, United are actually, because it's United, and we always do, and there's a lot of people want to watch United in this competition. I always felt United would bring a following if we entered this, any sort of competition around this level. And for me, I can only look at it from a Premier League club's perspective. I don't have a League Two club's perspective on this, because I'm not a League Two club fan. I am a Premier League team fan. And the same thing about developing players there. If United could play a 21s team in League Two that couldn't get promoted, say, I honestly think that wouldn't be bad for League Two. But I do know a few people who support League Two and they'd spit in my face if I said that.
Yeah. But I think this tournament's been brilliant for us. I mean, we're unbeaten in it at the moment. I mean, it's not been easy.
Yeah.
I think the first game against Rotherham, I unfortunately couldn't go to that one. But we had a great following. United end, apparently.
It was rocking.
Great game. We did well. Then I went to the Lincoln one where James Garner got a goal for us, but he was back to wall stuff. It was really really had to dig in deep to get that result. And it was hard work for him, and they did it. And speaking to Ethan Galbraith afterwards, and he was saying, you know, one of the toughest games he's ever played in, but he felt pride in winning it.
A couple of the lads, and they said the difference in intensity to playing, which is the whole fucking point of what we're talking about here, the difference in intensity of playing what they're seeing as competitive fixtures against experienced professionals. Like, it was 30-odd-year-old, wasn't there? I think was it Gomez doing the dependent with one of them that was like 30, 35, some mad shit like that. These are experienced, seasoned professionals coming up against a team of hotshots, and they're going to be physical with them. They're going to use all the dark arts.
Definitely.
And they, like you said, they made them work. And the players I chatted to, they said that was one of the hardest games I've ever played in physically. Like, I feel dead. I feel like I've played two games. Don't feel like I've just played one. And that just shows how utter bollocks the 23s league is.
Exactly. And you look at the last game against Doncaster, where Doncaster went ahead and they had to fight back for the win. I mean, Ethan Galbraith again with a sweet volley, he gets a goal. And I mean, Mason Greenwood, we all know what he's about, but he gets a goal in injury time to win it.
Death.
And don't get me wrong, I've seen him score hat-tricks, I've seen him score winners against people and I've celebrated, but I went mad when he scored that, because it was a proper game, you know, where it meant something. And
it is a competitive fixture.
And when you watched him, he scored against Chelsea in a hat-trick against Chelsea in the FA Youth Cup. And he had had a bit of celebration. He celebrated harder winning that game against Doncaster than he did when he scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, because I think it means more. I think it means a lot, yeah. And I don't really want to open up the whole, should Premier League teams get you know, their own team in League Two or something along those lines. And I didn't really understand the whole, they was going to have Premier League 1, 2 and 3, weren't they? They was going to rename the Championship League 1 and League 2, and they was kicking off like fuck about it. And I said, I'm not educated enough to have a fully formed opinion on it, but I don't understand the opposition to change. Fundamentally, just it just seems it's opposition to change rather than it's opposition to whatever that's coming in. I don't think they look at what actually is going to be good or bad. I just think they kick off. I mean, and football clubs have traditionally been fucking well wrong on stuff forever in terms of, like, when the Premier League came in, there was like, no one's going to watch these games. No one's going to watch us play if you put a live game on. And they were like, no, wrong.
I do think, like you were talking about, if you could have an under-21 team in the League Two, you'd be up for it and it'd be great for us. But I can see their point, because they're worried about all the time folding and people, not enough people coming. And if Premier League teams started putting their reserve team basically in the league, maybe the games that they're playing, the attendance would go up, but more people would be watching them than their teams. And it's a bit of a catch-22 situation.
Nah, I think that's actually bollocks.
You see it all the time. Clubs are folding.
Well, clubs are folding and they haven't got the money.
Yeah, but fans see it as, we don't want anything to change, because if something changes, we might end up losing everything.
Yeah, or you might make more money.
But they'd rather not take the risk because they're settled at the moment.
It's like the whole 3 p.m. blackout thing. I had an argument with Nick Cox, who I respect and I like his work, and I've got a couple of his books. But he's dead wrong on the argument. He's for the 3 p.m. blackout, that none of the 3 p.m. games should be allowed to be put on TV. And I'm like, well, where's the evidence? Are you suggesting when United play West Ham away, there's only 1,800 United fans in this country get to watch that game? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. There's no way that's the case.
The reason why the argument doesn't work is because you can be playing at Bournemouth, for example. You say, like, we're playing Bournemouth at 5:30 on Sky. No district for them, but it's on TV. That's not stopping people going away. All the United fans are still going to be at Old Trafford, so it makes no difference whatsoever, because people want to go and watch the games.
Yeah, and when we do play an away game where we're not 3 o'clock, or let's say we are 3 o'clock, like, people, his argument was people don't know how to stream. He says young people know how to stream, and I'm apparently an internet entity, so I of course know how to stream. I don't stream. I don't really stream stuff, and I'm actually fucking terrible with that stuff, so you was wrong on that. But like, his whole thing was like, people go and watch the non-league. I was like, I don't know a single person, if United are playing at 3 away and they're not going, will go watch Altrincham or Stalybridge Bridge or Drawsden. It doesn't happen.
Because,
and the evidence isn't there in their attendance is going like this. Their attendance,
the majority,
like,
of people are going to try and find a pub with it in, yeah, or they're going to listen to it on the radio. Yeah. They're not going to go to the local non-league.
They're going to get Greek Satellite, or they're going to get IPTV, or they're going to have one of those things. Now, before the invention of streaming and stuff, that was the move. There's a booze around the corner that has every game on. And that's happened since the fucking 90s, right? So don't tell me that's a modern fan thing. Yeah. I think that's just a thing that's always existed. 3 p.m. blackout for me is absolutely bollocks. And most of the people that are streaming it in the UK are streaming it from, like, NBC and stuff like that, because they've already got it. Madness. Mabry.
Hannibal.
He's a bit fucking good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not bad, not bad. I remember the first time I saw him, he came on at Carrington, and there was the hype around him, and I didn't think much of him, really. Just maybe his first game, nerves or whatever.
Yeah, the same, actually. I was like, and everyone online was getting a bit excited about what's it like.
And then he had a couple of good games for the 18s, and then even the last game, Middlesbrough, he was 16-year-old, and he's on the pitch the way he was, and there's a goal that Chong scored, and the free ball for him, the confidence to do that is just unreal.
How many 16-year-olds do you know that have played in our 23 team? I think Mason did.
Yeah, Mark Helm, currently, he's done it. Charlie Wellens, I think.
I don't think Angel did, though.
No, he didn't. No, he did it for the... He played for the first team at 16, but I don't think...
Did he ever play for the 23s?
No, because he never played for the 23s when he made his first team debut.
And Marcus only played twice for the 21s. Yeah. He played more for the first team than he did for the 21s.
Yeah, it's... But like I say, it's a young setup now. The 18s are majority 16-year-olds. The 23s are majority 18, 19-year-olds. Look at the first team, how young that is. I mean, it's only your mate, Ashley Young, who's over the age of 30-something. But yeah, it's a young team. And even the under-16s haven't been playing every week because there's not enough players of that age to play, because they're playing in the 18s. It's crazy.
Ted and Bengi.
Yeah, brilliant.
Are we driving a bandwagon for him yet, or what?
Yeah, I really rate him.
Fucking tank, innit?
Yeah, and
obviously scored a winner against City.
Yeah, that always goes down well. You can't go wrong with that. But I mean, we've had some good centre backs come through over the past 5-6 years, and I think he's the best one. And that's what I'm saying. Remember when Roshan first come through? Yep. And how good he's better than Roshan for me.
I think he's better than Roshan, but I don't think he's better than Axel. And also, do you know what?
At the moment in time, no. But I think he's better than Axel was when he was the same age. If you put him back to the same age,
I'd have to go and have a
I really do think that.
I rated Axel very highly at that.
Yeah, stage. I did. I think Seddon's better.
Joe, the one that fell off with no explanation, was Tyrell Warren.
Yeah, he was a strange one because he was
nothing between him and Axel.
He was an younger young one as well. He was always coming through, and he was like the third choice at the time with Axel and Roshan. But
he was also the youngest.
Yeah.
By a lot.
He got into the team and he did all right. He really did, but he just all of a sudden just that was it. He was gone really, and no one's. It's a shame no one's really missed him or anything like that.
No, he was released, I think, in the summer, wasn't he? I wouldn't mind actually following up on what happened with him there. Someone remind me in the comments, and I'll go and do that because I won't mind finding out what happened there with him, whether it was his own choice or the club's.
Because he was always a steady good player. You couldn't argue with him.
And attitude, very much in terms of you see the way Brandon is at the moment.
Yeah,
he had a bit of that factor about him. Like he would fucking fight you. Yeah. And there was one derby.
Look, I think the difference is that I think he would fight you. I think Brandon sometimes looks for a fight.
You might be right. But there was one derby that I remember where he was pressing. He's a centre half. He was pressing from the front, and he won the ball back on the edge of City's box. Did he win a penalty? I think he won a penalty, and I think Callum Griffin missed it.
Yeah, with the
was that that game
when we were. I think we're 2-0up, weren't we? And then he should have made it 3-0, and then they brought Sancho on Sancho and Diaz on, and then it was 2-2. Yeah.
Two great players, then.
Not bad.
Like, I'm pretty happy that they left City because both of those were outrageous. Brahim Diaz as well. The fact that he's not made his Manchester City debut is like criminal incompetence from somebody at City. How good was he?
He was amazing. I mean, it was great sometimes when you saw the team sheet and he went on, but then you look at the bench and think. Yeah, we might win the first half, but we're not going to win the second.
Going back on Mabry a second, 16 years of age, do you think Solskjaer might have the idea with the midfield crisis that we've got going on at the moment? Or do you think, because he's different to Galbraith, and he's different to Levitt, and he's different to Garner. He's a bit more refined and a bit...
I think he's gone for... Because I don't think Levitt's the same as Galbraith. I think every midfielder there, even Traore.
Yeah, that's five different.
They're all totally different type of players, and you know, depending on what situation the game's going to be, and you can use and utilize each one of them differently. I mean, Galbraith, he doesn't score that often, but from outside the box,
fucking Christ!
I've never seen him score a bad goal. He scores.
He's bangers only, mate.
Ridiculous.
Oh, was it the to win the league against City on the last game of the season a couple of years ago?
Yeah, another one.
Fuck's sake!
Traore, powerhouse. You know, probably. What people thought Pogba was when he was younger, he's probably like that. You know,
he's pretty much the same build as Pogba at 17, 18, isn't he?
He even got a goal recently away at Swansea where he just bustled into the box and just elbowed everyone off and just blasted it in the goal. Garner's, I think it's disrespectful saying this, but he's an old-fashioned midfielder where he just plays football. He's not... Not trying to do tricks. He just plays simple, good football. But he's so good.
I think he's got a Michael Carrick about him.
Yeah, definitely. I think Dylan is box to box. He's like to tackle. You know,
he's got a shit outside too. He's got a real Ander Herrera vibe about him. But he's quite cute with. He'll kick you, but he'll smile at you while he does it.
Mebry or Hannibal, however you want to say it, he seems the most skillful out of them. You know, on the ball, but. Like I say, he's only young. I've only seen a handful of times. I'd like to see what he's like in a year's time, you know, if he's the same type of player or who he works with.
That's usually a big improvement in everybody, isn't it? That first year is definitely a learning curve for every player that we've ever seen come through.
We've seen it with, like, Tae Chong. He was immense when we first got him. He was somewhat out of the blocks, but you're like, look at this kid. And I always think with him, if he didn't have that injury against Everton when they did him in, because he was out for over a year, and what might have happened. But, yeah, he was... Great, but it's like I say, it's all about especially as central midfielders, developing a partnership or partnerships with different players, and can you work with them? If he's just all about individuality and trying to do this and that, and it won't work out, will it?
No. So what do you reckon? You think there's a debut outside of the two that we've mentioned? Laird and Levitt, I think, are the only ones that Garner. We can really put on.
Oh, Garner's playing on here. Yeah.
Outside shot for Galbraith? Because I think so. I mean, he's real tenacity about him.
He's made his Northern Ireland debut, first team debut. So
he's played a couple of times, I think. Right?
Yeah, I think just the once he's played. Yeah. Okay, Dylan's going to be on the bench on Tuesday or today. Yeah,
tonight, as we put this out, hopefully. We get an international debut there.
And then, like Tedden, he's been, I know it's youth level, but he's been captain in England sides.
I think we're so stacked at centre half that him and Deshaun Bernard as well, probably going to get overlooked for debuts, certainly this season, unless something crazy happens. Or
I'll tell you another one who might be an outside shout is Pujmal, Arnaud Pujmal. He's not always consistently great, but when he is good, he is really good. And I think he could do a job against certain
teams. He's different, isn't he? Because he's a winger. For me, that's his best position. But he's a wide midfielder. He's not that midfielder.
He came in as a central midfielder, played there and looked excellent. Then we had the right-back issue where Ethan got injured and he's moved into right-back. And I think that's the best thing that ever happened to him, because now he's a midfielder that knows his defensive roles as well. He used to be all about going forward. Mm. Now we'll do that and he'll defend.
But he went forward, but he wouldn't chong you. He was like almost like a bit Beckhamish, the way he played. And he wouldn't, and I mean Beckhamish in terms of, good from a dead ball, great cross, but he's not going to stand you up. He's not going to do a step over and go around you like David Beckham would. He would more likely knock it out of his feet and whip one in. I think Pujmal's a bit of an outside shot, but it'd be very interesting to see what happens with the League Cup match we've got coming up.
You've got to remember as well, the Europa League, we've qualified now.
Yeah, we're already qualified.
I don't think they'll send them all out.
Toss it totally off.
Yeah, I don't think they'll send them all out to Kazakhstan, but they might the next game.
They might throw half of them in.
You never know.
It's only the same as, it's even less pressure than the leasing.com cup, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Are you already through? Yeah, you've already qualified.
Why bother sending a team halfway around the world? Send an under-19s. It might surprise you.
And you got to remember, these players as well haven't got the UEFA Youth League this year because we're not in the Champions League. So they missed out on them type of games, travelling, different countries and stuff.
You could play an entirely rotated team that wouldn't get embarrassed. It might not win, but it wouldn't get embarrassed. No, because you can still put Romero in that. You can still probably play Phil Jones.
To be honest, he's another one. He might get a shout. Matty Kovar.
He
really is ridiculous at the moment. He's honestly such a good keeper. It's
a shame we've got about five top keepers at the club, because only one of them is going to play.
But he travels now for the first team as the backup keeper, if one of the two get injured.
Oh, shit, yeah. Lee Grant still exists,
Yeah. Because when we were at Doncaster, they're all coming out, and then Ethan Laird and Kovar got on a separate bus and they drove to the Chelsea game. And so, they're in all these sports, these type of players. So
Ethan's one I'm very excited about seeing what he does in the first team. Yeah. Ashley Young could get retired three fucking times this season. He got retired from the first choice right back by Wan-Bissaka. He's been, I hope, retired now from left back by Brandon Williams. And he could get retired as backup left and right back by Ethan Laird.
But would you drop Wan-Bissaka to play Ethan? Personally, I would.
I think I probably would. I fucking really love Wan-Bissaka, but there's a real X factor to Ethan's game, which is in that final third. He will throw a step over and go around.
I just think as well, if he's been unfortunate with injuries. Hmm. If he didn't have the injuries, I think he'd been doing what Brandon Williams did, and he'd be in the same position as him.
It's frightening because both of them are fucking class. And both of them have played in each other's positions.
It's mad. When I first saw him at the Cliff, they play a bit, and then after 20 minutes, they swap sides.
Yeah, you don't see that with fullbacks often. But this is something that they could do. And it's something that they could even bring to the first team. And people would lose
the fuck up.
He'd
mess up the wingers trying to attack. They'd be like, no.
And it's something that you might need to use, because 20 minutes into a game, Brandon's already going to be on a yellow. So you definitely need to think about that. And do you know what? Ethan will fucking smack you in the mouth as well, I think. Yeah. He's not a soft lad.
But he's one player I've seen who's the most critical of himself as well.
Ethan?
Yeah. After each game, they're all finished. And even if they've won, he used to always come to the side of the pitch to speak to his dad, and he'd be like, oh, I've had such a bad game. He's like, no, you won 3-1. You just cleared the ball off the line. He goes, yeah, but that one goal.
I like it. Yeah, I've got a lot of time.
He's such a sound lad as well. And I'd really want to see him do well. And I think he can do it at United.
Yeah, and I won't tell you who he supports. But yeah, he's a fucking top lad and a top prospect. Seen play at centre-half for England, but don't like him there. He can do it.
He played centre-half for United, but I know for a fact that he doesn't like it because he likes running down the wing.
Yeah. Well, he also scored 22 goals at 16s, didn't he? Mm. From left-back until some kid called Mason Greenwood, don't know what happened to him, was promoted from the year below. A leading scorer that year, but 22 goals. Very Marcelo-ish he was in that season. He just fucking come central and just fucking shoot. Whereas he's scoring goals now, isn't he? He's creating goals from right back now.
Well, he scored against Rotherham in the EFL Cup. He's scoring against the first team at that level. You know, I'd give him a shot now. Not, you know, against your Arsenals, not against, but, you know.
I fucking would. Well, it depends on injuries.
Of course, but it's one of them. You don't want to blow a lad's confidence if he's, you know, if he has a bad game. It's a lot of age.
And he thinks he's capable of playing at this level as well. From speaking to him, he's not thinking, oh, I'll go out on loan. He'd be like, no, I'll play for United.
I think he can do it. Because I know you really like him, but I'm still not convinced by Wan-Bissaka. He's good. He's better than what we had.
Defensively, it's sensational. I do wonder about that right-hand side of a three. Would that be better for him? He's a bit on a small side, but I think he could probably make up for that. I think there's probably a good attacker still in his locker. But I think because we've not really had a lot of consistency as a right winger, and I think James could help this, I think that he looks exposed a little bit, or he doesn't quite know what to do, and he doesn't quite know how to link up with. I think if he forms a partnership, like, do you know, like Memphis and Shaw had on the left, if he's able to form a partnership with someone, because he's one-touch, neat stuff, his link-up play's there, he's not a get-to-the-byline and beat you kind of guy, but he did it in pre-season, he's done it this season.
I just think he switches off sometimes for me, you know, that crucial moments. We can get away with it sometimes, but...
I am a fan of when he passes it to the opposition and then tackles them.
Yeah. Get a bit of practice.
Fucking stat padding. I'm on to you. Right, thank you, Dave, for joining us. As always, go and check out Academy Review. And you're also doing some vlogging as well, aren't you?
Yeah, just on...
Because you're doing about... how many games you've done so far this season?
I think I'm on 52 this season.
So I'll throw a link to his channel in the description as well, and go and check that out, because he's literally fucking everywhere. And you're off to Kazakhstan very soon as well, aren't you?
Yeah, can't wait.
Should be a good one. Right, thanks for watching. And remember, we are brought to you by the good folks at The Athletic, and you can hit the description for a link to that. It is the new home of football writing in England. They've got all the best writers, and you can get a month's free trial to go and see if you fancy it or not. And it's 50% off, which means it's only a couple of quid a month if you do fancy it. And the link for that is in the description. It's theathletic.co.uk/Housen. That is theathletic.co.uk/Housen. And I'll see you lot in the next one. Remember, we're doing a 24-hour podcast this week, and we might have some absolute treats to auction off some stuff from some players and some limited edition stuff and art and all kinds of shit. So make sure to tune in. Free your Saturday, because we are sitting here from 10 a.m. on Saturday until 10 a.m. on Sunday, raising money again for the homeless in Manchester. So thank you for watching. I'll see you in the next one.